Irene moves into Canada, and the U.S. East Coast comes back to life.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Emergency responders are focused this morning on the terrible flooding from Hurricane Irene in Vermont and upstate New York. Meanwhile, in New York City, the transit system is coming back online for the Monday morning rush hour after an unprecedented shutdown over the weekend. Marketplace's New York Bureau Chief Heidi Moore is live with us for more on the great restart and what it means for Wall Street. Good morning.
Good morning.
So first of all, New York City is in startup mode right now. Heidi, what's it like out there?
Well, to put it in sort of movie terms, it could have been Waterworld, but now it's sort of like Mad Max. Mm. There aren't a lot of people out on the streets. A lot of people clearly stayed home. Subways are working, but the trains that serve the bedroom communities to the north and west of the city, Metro North and New Jersey Transit, are out, and people are dealing with flooding, with trees down. Of course, a lot of Wall Street firms started to prepare for that. Last week, Goldman Sachs, for instance, gave its employees vouchers for a car service. Of course, by last night, that car service was completely booked.
So what is the effect then on the financial system this morning, if any?
Well, it's been a huge lucky break for everybody. Everything is up and running, and everyone who's non-essential is staying home. And think of the alternative. It could have been terrible if you had seawater, ocean water coming into downtown Manhattan. It could have taken out the entire power grid. Now, of course, we have data centers, backup generators in other places, but it could have been ugly.
Now, Heidi, you mentioned that the trains are not running to what you call the bedroom communities outside New York. Those are also, some of them, places like Greenwich, Connecticut, Stamford, Connecticut, Jersey City. Those are financial hubs themselves, right?
That's right. They have a lot of the data centers that keep Wall Street running and a lot of the employees that keep Wall Street running. And so a lot of them could find ways to get into the office because they drive. But that's not the case for everybody. And what really helped was over-preparation by a lot of the firms. They told them, listen, if you can't come in, you can work from home. And that, of course, is completely possible. You know, for firms like J.P. Morgan or the New York Stock Exchange or NASDAQ, they all started testing their systems and bringing in generators in the middle of last week. So they never really got past the monitoring stage, but they were prepared for a 9/11 type disaster.
So it's not too difficult to work from home if you work on Wall Street.
That's right. I mean, you have to imagine it's a global world. A lot of Wall Street people are set up to work when they're traveling. So they have what they need, unless they're traders. If you're a trader, you do need to be on the trading floor. But everyone else can work remotely. They have BlackBerries and laptops.
Marketplace New York Bureau Chief Heidi Moore. Heidi, thanks.
Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher around the world this morning, up 1.4% in Hong Kong, same in Frankfurt, amid news that two of Greece's biggest banks are merging in hopes that one huge bank will be better prepared to withstand the European debt mess. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow jumped 134 points, about 1.2%, to close at 11,284.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. By LendingTree, providing up to four loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. And by the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org.
Oil is trading around $86 a barrel this morning, and regular unleaded gasoline is averaging $3.61 a gallon nationwide. Now, those figures are important to just about everybody with a car. They are really important to the U.S. military, which spent $13 billion on fuel last year. Well, in the next month or two, the U.S. Navy is going to do something about that with a new hybrid electric warship. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Scott Tong reports.
Please watch your step. We got some lights out on this next couple levels here.
On board the USS Macon Island, a next-generation assault ship, they don't like to call it the USS Prius. But come on, it's a hybrid. Operations Chief Jeff Brotherton says there's gas and there's auxiliary electric.
And I start the auxiliary propulsion motor. It will cause the gas turbine to stop.
It gets 33% better nautical mileage. and saves at the pump.
When we took the ship from Pascagoula, Mississippi to San Diego, we sailed around the southern tip of South America. Our savings was nearly $2 million in fuel costs.
It sips fuel at low speed, like when fighters take off from the deck or amphibious landing craft emerge from the belly. The Navy wants this hybrid ship to be part of a future greener fleet. Why? Oil prices of sailors cussing like themselves. Retired General Chuck Wald.
Back in 2008, when oil peaked out at $147.50 a barrel, that was about $11 billion extra for the U.S. military.
Which in today's budget environment will be slimming down. Analyst Larry Korb is with the Center for American Progress.
The Navy wants 313 ships. They can only afford about 280 now. So maybe if they can save some money on oil, they can buy more ships.
On the Macon Islands, sailors talk up other onboard efficiencies. Special filters turn seawater into fresh. Recycling contests give winning squads first place in the chow line.
We got turkey burgers. We got baked beans.
Today, chef, PSSR right.
We got cake for dessert.
The serious part about saving oil is the less the military buys, the less it funds unfriendly places. Still, it'll take decades to undo. So the real question lies with future Pentagon brass and whether saving energy floats their boats as well. In San Diego, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And finally to Switzerland, where organizers are trying to get a new political party on the ballot for this year's parliamentary elections. A political party with one thing in mind: banning PowerPoint presentations. The founder says the Microsoft program is causing the Swiss economy to lose hundreds of billions of dollars a year because the presentations are too boring. His solution? Old-fashioned whiteboard flip charts, which he says are much more pleasant and interesting to watch. You should watch our whiteboard flip chart shows on marketplace.org about all kinds of things in the financial system. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
For the U.S. military, gas isn't priced in dollars per gallon, but lives per fuel convoy.
They would commandeer sheep and camels and attach explosives to these animals and then herd the animals in front of our vehicles and blow them up.
I'm Bob Moon. The Pentagon takes up a life and death struggle to go green. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.